The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you, live and local as we are on Thursday and Friday mornings from our WTBR studio here in Pittsfield. Thanks for joining us this morning. Always glad to have you aboard for the program. And we have a good one for you today. We have Mr. Ricardo Morales. He is the Commissioner of Public Works for the City of Pittsfield. It's been a while since we've had Ricardo on, and we're glad to have him here to talk about, give us some updates on all of the various projects and works. You know, as we say in New England, there are four seasons, almost winter, winter, still winter, and road construction. I think the final one is where we are right now. We've had some comments around the office that says, you know, no matter where I'm going in Pittsfield right now, there's construction going on. And so we're going to talk to Ricardo about that and some other things like bridges and dams and trash and recycling and all kinds of good stuff that are going on that are within his purview as the Commissioner of Public Works. Lots to talk about. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what is in store for us over the next day and a half or so from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Patchy fog this morning. A chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers. Night is cool with lows in the lower 60s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Friday, showers likely in the morning, then showers with the chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 70s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of rain 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And I think what you're seeing there is maybe the beginnings of the impacts of Tropical Storm Debbie, which will be making its way up the East Coast. I guess some of that path has shifted a bit to our west, so it sounds like central New York, the Finger Lakes region, the Mohawk Valley, places like that will be getting more rain than we will out of this storm, but it does sound like we will be getting some impacts for sure, and we'll talk to Ricardo about that as well, I think. So good morning, Ricardo Morales. How are you this morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm not bad, not bad, considering the early time here as it is.
Yeah.
But early is probably relative for a lot of people. You know, I think of getting into an early radio show as early because we're TV people also, and TV usually happens late. But you have to do both. You have to be up in the morning for things that are happening, and then later on at night for, you know, city council meetings and other kinds of committees and things like that. So you're kind of spread all over.
There are Thursdays that... after I'm here in the morning, there is a night meeting,
yeah,
public meeting. Yeah, not today, thankfully.
The summer kind of quiets down a little bit on that front, which is nice.
Right.
Everybody deserves a bit of a break on that front before we get back into September and everything. If you're not hearing that, there's a slider number 3 there should turn that up for you. All right, so welcome again. Is that any better? Yeah, we got to be
so.
Able to hear
yes.
things here in
Definitely.
The studio. Yeah, for sure. So thanks for being here. Lots to talk about. Last week there was some discussion at a city, I believe it was a Conservation Commission meeting about the Bel Air Dam. So it's getting real with that particular project. And I realize that that is more of a federal and a state project than a city project, but maybe give us some overview of what's happening, what's our schedule there, that dam that's just off of Wakona Street for people that don't know.
Right. So there is, in terms of the schedule, that's still in flux, obviously, because the design is still ongoing. We are involved with some of the parallel appurtenances and yeah. things that have to happen from our end as the municipality.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it is a private dam.
Hmm.
And that's why we're not primarily why the city itself is not involved in this.
Right.
There's a program from the state and on a federal level too that is taking care, looking at these abandoned dams.
And the history of that dam, it's a private dam, as you mentioned. It was built in the early 1800s as part of a woolen mill, right, to provide power, because there was no power other than power off of rivers, which is how places like Pittsfield grew up in the first place. We were blessed with having, you know, water power. And so it functioned that way for many years and then fell into disuse. It was privately owned, as you mentioned, and then at some point the owner passed away. And so it's really, is it owned by anyone right now?
Yeah, there is some ownership, but it's difficult to pin down. Yeah. And, you know, just pinning down is difficult. Imagine having someone to take action on it.
And the action, of course, is that it is dangerous in that it is so old and it is showing signs of wear. It's not like immediate, like it's not going to break tomorrow, but it's something that if it did, that would have a catastrophic impact for the neighborhood and even wider parts of the city, right?
Right. Downstream of the dam, it's the immediate part that could face some danger, some risk of flooding if that dam lets go.
And that's part of the east branch of the Housatonic. It's before the two branches get together, right?
West branch.
Or west branch?
Yes. Okay. That's the west branch. Mm.
Okay. So, and that's why it's an important part of the watershed of this area.
Certainly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this, taking the dam out will make a big difference also at some point. Obviously, there's a bunch of contamination inside the dam, and that's why it's a big federal project, right? And I guess it's state ARPA funds that are contributing to some of how that's getting done. So if that wasn't available, that would make it even more difficult. You'd have to leave it there even longer, I would think.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough situation, but we're thankful that the state is looking into this throughout the Commonwealth. And you know, happy to accept that assistance.
Yeah. So that schedule, we're looking at some impacts to the neighborhood in that area probably in 2025 or 2026. But obviously, the information is getting out there now.
Right, right. Yeah. It takes time.
Yeah.
And we're getting there.
Yeah. Well, big project for folks down on Wacona Street and Lenox Avenue in that area. So if you live in that area, you're going to be expecting definitely some increased activity over the next couple of years as that works out. The eventual goal is to take the dam out, and then it just becomes part of the river, right? It doesn't stop anymore. There was an interesting letter to the editor this morning in the Eagle about potential impacts, and the reader was just concerned of whether that would impact the Wacona Park project, which I thought was an interesting question, because that branch of the Housatonic is the one that flows by Wacona Park and, of course, creates some of the flooding there in various times of the year. So I wonder if that has been considered.
So there certainly will be some impacts, and that's part of the entire, you know, calculation and methodical review of this. Mm. But if you recall, sometime in 2021, I believe, we took down, with help and assistance from the state as well, the Mill Street Dam.
Right.
That is part of the same branch. Mm. That, being a dam on the downstream, has more impact to something like upstream flooding, because you're storing water at a higher elevation.
Mm-hmm.
So everything upstream from the dam would impact,
right?
As opposed to downstream, you're not changing the topography of the terrain around the river or the dam. So all you're doing is raising the level up or down before or after a certain point.
Yeah.
So the part being later after downstream, from the Wacona, from the Bel Air Dam, is less impactful than the Mill Street was.
Interesting.
In that sense.
Yeah.
There's still impacts, but it's also complicated. So I'm boiling it down to bare simple terms.
Well, and ecologically in general, it's great to be able to remove these dams, right? They don't really serve any particular purpose anymore. It's not like they're providing hydroelectric power, and they're really just blocking up the river and creating potential hazards and probably not great for marine life or anything else.
Right. There's a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. And the right decision, if not for public safety, you know, for those other natural or ecological reasons, is to take it down.
Yeah, for sure. So that's good to hear that, you know, that is moving forward. Here's another project that's moving forward slower than some people would like, but the Pex Road Bridge. And boy, some big news in the last couple of weeks where that bridge had to be closed somewhat unexpectedly,
right.
Although maybe not. But it certainly was a bridge that was deteriorating in quality over the years, and it had been down to one lane for probably 4 or 5 years now. Is that about right?
It was end of 2019
yeah.
when we had to put that down into one lane. And a lot of people think that when we did that, construction started, which is not the case.
Yeah.
That bridge, unfortunately, was not in anyone's radar. Hmm. The state inspects bridges for municipalities.
Right.
And that bridge just happened to rapidly deteriorate between one inspection and the next.
Wow. And how often is that inspection? Is that every year? Twice a year?
It depends on previous inspections and the condition of the bridge.
Okay.
And at least every 2 years, we get inspections on bridges. Mm. If certain parts of the bridge require more frequent inspections, then there's triggers for that.
So the state is really in control of that. They see a problem and they say, okay, we're sending an inspector out. And you know, the city basically has to live with the consequence of that. Whatever they
right.
say, and if they say close the bridge, you have to close the bridge.
And we do rely on their inspections, right? Mm-hmm. We have plans. We have bridges that we're working on right now that have not failed.
Yeah.
And when we, you know, someone may see that we're doing work on a bridge and say, well, why are you working on that one and not on Barker Road Bridge?
Mm.
Well, there's issue or Pex Road Bridge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's reasons, you know, we have a plan and we execute on that plan. It takes time. It takes years to design a bridge. Just
a lot
because
longer
of permitting.
Longer than reconstructing a road. A bridge is much more complicated.
Certainly. But then something happens unexpectedly, and now we have to pay attention, funding, shift resources and attention to something that was not in our plan until several years from now, based on inspections that we were receiving. Now we have to pay attention to this. And that's what happened in 2019. Not only that, we also were stopped in our steps to get there with the pandemic right after this happened. So we had plans in place to expedite some design work for Pex Road Bridge. The pandemic put roadblocks for that to continue.
Mm-hmm.
We picked up later in 2021. There was some hydrological analysis that needed to be done and approved by the state. The state is the ultimate approver for the designs for bridges like this, especially when we're receiving funding from the state, which we are in this case.
Even though this is a city-owned bridge.
It is a city-owned bridge. Yeah. There is a program where the city municipalities can, for small bridges under 20 feet, we can apply for a small bridge grant.
Hmm.
It's only $500,000. That probably needs to be readjusted or
what's
adjusted.
What's the total cost of replacing this bridge?
It's going to be between design and construction and construction administration. We're looking at about $3 million.
Hmm. So small part of that being what the state contributes. So it's still a pretty expensive project.
It is expensive, certainly. And, you know, getting the approval, we had 4 or 5 iterations in the approval. It's called Chapter 85, a bridge review under Chapter 85. The state has to approve. We got to final approval last fall, and then we set out to bid the work.
Mm-hmm.
We awarded the work earlier this year and finally got into procuring materials, getting the precast built, and then the state last inspected. So they started inspecting the bridge, that bridge every 6 months.
Hmm.
And their last inspection did not yield any particular issues this was in around January.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward to their most recent inspection, a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was mid-July.
So they had seen significant deterioration.
They saw significant deterioration.
Mm-hmm. To the point where if you're running a truck or something over that bridge, you could have a problem.
Right. And it's not like it's imminent. It's not the next truck is going to make this bridge fall down. That's not the case. That's not how things are measured in infrastructure. It's about risk. It's about, you know, calculating that risk and putting people in harm's way. And this is not something we are able to carry risk for. So
ultimately, what happened to this bridge? Because I don't know how old it was when it was put in place or what the design. I think you and I have talked about this on the show previously, that it was a particular design of that bridge that tended to fail whenever it was done. But what part of it was the critical part that said that it's because of this that it cannot, you know, stay the way it is?
So the bridge, the design used for this bridge has beams running. It's not. A lot of smaller bridges nowadays, we use precast, concrete structures and precast structures. This bridge was built with a beam.
Steel.
Steel beams running through along the length of the bridge. And the ones on the south side of Pex Road were corroding fast, and it's all because of water making its way through the underside of the road into the beams.
Okay,
and eating it away.
Right,
that action is expected. It just certain designs have an easier way for water to get to the structures that are not good for water, you know, with water.
Mm-hmm. So an accelerated process basically there on this particular bridge. And I'm sure, you know, us being in the Northeast with treating roads with salt and chemicals and things probably doesn't help bridges and roads. But it's a necessary evil. It's what we have, right?
So we, there's better designs now. It's all about managing the risk and lifespans of bridges. So our design, as I mentioned, is a precast design. It's going to fail someday due to wear and tear.
So it has a lifespan. You know, when you put it in, it's got to be maintained, taken care of, and then replaced someday. Right. Hopefully you know how long that's going
to
be.
Yep. It's in the 50 to 70 years. Yeah. So that's the normal course. We'll probably going to be swapping it out in 90 years. That's how things just are, right?
Right. It'll be some other commissioner's problem.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Commissioner Ricardo Morales, the Public Works Commissioner here in the city of Pittsfield. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. And of course, what people want to know now that the bridge is closed completely, does that speed up the process of replacing the bridge? And what time period can people expect that to be available again?
So right now we're working on a schedule because everything with stopping the work the way we were expecting it. Let me talk about that a little bit. Our plan going into this project was maintaining flow of traffic on one side at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So we start building, we build the bridge in two halves, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We build the half that's already shut down first, then we swap, we let people go through that half and build the other one. That way, we keep the bridge open at all times, at least with one travel lane.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge being closed is certainly an impact to everyone using that road.
Right.
It's not the call we wanted to get.
Yeah.
Mid-July, as we are approving the precast structures for construction. Now we have to, you know, we could still conduct the project in the same way, do it in halves, but it does take time. And at this stage, it is not necessary to do it that way because we have it closed already.
Right.
So we are going to take advantage of that fact and build the entire structure in one go. That takes a shift in our design, not the design for the bridge itself, but the design for the construction. That needs to be specifically designed how it's going to be built you know, precast concrete and all that.
And again, that's why this takes so much time, right? Because all this stuff has to be planned out ahead of time, and you had to have one plan for doing half and then half, and then suddenly facts on the ground change, and you say, okay, well, now we have to change
it's,
all that.
It's an issue. We had to you know, consult on the procurement level. Hmm. You know, everyone that bid this project was expecting it to be two halves, right? And now we're changing the picture. Well, there's laws that protect municipalities for stuff like this, and we're lucky that, you know, in a sense, we're mandated, essentially. The state is telling us, you have to do it this way. You have to close the bridge. So we need to take action in that way. So it's changing the picture, but it's ultimately going to be a faster construction now that it's closed. So the contractor is working on a schedule. I should have that this week sometime. They needed the approval first, and they're going to be sending me a schedule. And that once I get that, we will be communicating with the public, with residents of Ward 7, with Councillor Sear, and get the word out.
I'm sure she'll be interested.
she is, and I owe her an email reply. I should just say I'm waiting on the schedule.
That's okay. She doesn't watch my show anyway. So that's great. That's good news for people that use that area, and certainly for Ward 7 residents. And it's a little inconvenient, but if it goes faster because it's closed off, you know, so much the better, and you'll have a safe bridge at the end of the day. I think that's what everybody would like to see. Well, let's move along from bridges and dams over to roads. And we got about 10 minutes or so before our top of the hour break. And we've got so much going on, as I mentioned. And nobody knows that better than you, what's going on in the city for road construction. One of the things that hasn't started yet, but I'm sure is in the works and design works, is the work at the West Street Interchange. Near the Salvation Army area there, just past the bridge and the Big Y. That has undergone some changes, too, from what I've heard, from what the original idea was, and the scope of the project has changed a little bit. So let's talk about that. What's the update in that project?
So a couple of things. We have conducted already 4 public meetings on this project, and it's really, the way I see this, it's setting the way we conduct public information sharing for projects of this nature for the future. We are looking at this as a template to follow. Maybe not 4 meetings per se, but we might be doing another one because the last meeting we saw that there's particular sections of our population that were not represented. We want to conduct one last meeting, especially because we are changing, as you mentioned, some of the design approaches now that the mayor took a hold of his vision of providing some better funding for the project. It means that we can do things that we were not planning on doing before. And those include an intersection signal at West and the T intersection, West and West, the Old West and New West. with,
I guess, if you go to the right, do they call that Government Drive?
Drive, College Way. Yeah. It's 2 of them that come together. So, what do you want to call it?
One of those two.
Yeah, it is. You know, naming conventions in road for something like that, it is tricky, and even our maps are not clear. It's the commingling of all of those streets.
Yeah,
and then, so we just say West and West.
Okay.
So that is going to have a signalized intersection with protected on two sides, protected bike lanes, some bicycle infrastructure, better crossings, protected median for pedestrians. It's going to be a fantastic intersection. I'm not too excited every time I have to say we're going to install a new intersection signal because in some instances we should be scaling back from that. But in this particular intersection, I think it's very it's prudent to install one.
Well, certainly a heavily used traffic area in the city, right? I don't know where it ranks in terms of how many cars per hour or whatever per day that you get through there. But I would imagine mix that with the amount of pedestrian traffic and kind of the odd shape of that intersection as well, and the sight lines, I would think, of where cars are coming from and what speed they're coming at you.
Right. There's many things to consider. There's the traffic volume is one thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we would need to maintain some form of access for vehicular traffic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have a very popular park.
Right.
We have a number of residences around the area on both sides of the street.
Some high density.
Residential areas. We have commerce. We have churches. We have industrial use, mm-hmm. like you know, Eversource, uh-huh. with heavy machinery and trucks coming out of there. It is a very unique area in the sense that it has everything.
Yeah.
And we want to provide for a safe access. So when we look at this from a standpoint of transportation and with the new outlook in providing safe streets for people, no matter how they choose to move around, mm-hmm. we need to think about the complexity of the area.
Yeah.
So we're dealing here with a street at the end of the day. And I say that, you know, we have talked about this in this show before. Yes. I say that because streets in the setting of a city landscape are places for things to happen, mm-hmm. right? And that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is not just a road that connects point A to point B.
Right.
We have things happening on the street level. Mm-hmm. We have complexity. We have many driveways. We have people crossing the street constantly, on foot, on bike, on pushing a stroller. Mm. And we need to provide better access and safer access for everyone using the street. And a special look to the most vulnerable user of that street, which is the one that's not protected by 2 tons of steel, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 tons of steel and heavier nowadays.
Right.
So that's what we're aiming for. With that in mind, we are installing 4 raised crosswalks, 2 of them in the middle, naturally on one linear, you know, segment of road, mm-hmm. Of street. We will have 2 that are in the middle. But
so
they're
these are
new
crosswalks then.
We're shifting some crosswalks, and we're raising existing crosswalks, and then they're going to be strategically located in places where people will use them, specifically for the park around the intersection. As you come in, it's going to be bookended by 2 raised crosswalks, so that's the 4. As you come in from the west, you're going to be met before the church by a raised crosswalk, which provides some traffic calming measures.
And I think that came out in some of the public meetings as well, right?
Right.
We talked about how people needed to get in and out of the church and the parking around times and things like that.
We have met with the church and provided what they see as the best scenario for their situation and their use.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, on the east side, coming out of College Way and the Government Drive area, we have also provided in the design for another raised crosswalk. Mm. So you have that bookending action. Mm-hmm. Slow down. This is a different setting. You're driving in now. You might be going fast. This is where you need to slow down.
And those cues are important for motorists as well, right? Because they, if nothing changes, they'll continue on with whatever they're doing. And if they notice that something has changed, crosswalks, narrowing of roads, bike lanes, or whatever, it throws up some red flags, and you start to say, well, maybe I need to, you know, take it easy here because something's about to happen.
Right. And we just got, it's going to be in the council agenda for next Tuesday. We got successfully awarded the grant from the state for Safe Streets for All. No, actually, that's a different one. Shared Streets and Spaces.
Oh, there you go.
A grant for around $250,000. We're going to use that to purchase the rapid flashing beacons that will go at these crosswalks.
Nice.
So they're expensive. That's why we don't have them everywhere.
Yeah.
But the state is going to provide for that funding. We have funding for the project, and we're going to start. We have almost 100% design drawings. Mm-hmm. We're going to conduct this last meeting soon and put the touching finishes.
Finishing touches.
Yeah, that's it. That's backwards. on the design and put it out to bid.
Great. And so the rest of the design, I know at one point it was imagined that it would go from the intersection we were just talking about at West and West all the way down to Valentine Road. Has that been scaled back a little bit in that area?
So we need to look at the design and the cost estimate. If we are able to get there based on the bid, we'll get to Valentine. Mm. But at the moment, what we're considering would be the available funds to get us to is specifically the area where there's, as I mentioned, complexity.
Yeah.
So
that's the critical part.
That's the critical, exactly. If we have money to continue to Valentine, we will.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it. And so we got through a few things here already in the first half of the show. So much more to talk about. So many roads, so little time.
Right.
Ricardo Morales is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive 89.7 WTBR FM. We will join that conversation again right after our quick top of the hour break where we thank our underwriters and tell you what station we're on and all kinds of other good stuff. So let's do that right now. And we'll return with our conversation with Commissioner Morales right here on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
Hey, Berkshire seniors. Want to stay in your home and be independent as you age? Villages of the Berkshires is here to help. It's a local nonprofit organization based on national model of supporting community members. It provides services like helping with household tasks, running errands, driving to appointments, and finding home repair services. It also offers social visits and community organized events. To become a member, supporter, or volunteer, go to villagesoftheberkshires.org or call 413-409-6400. Financial support is available for member dues.
Join Peter and Jessica to relive the magic of Beatlemania every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. For 5 decades, the Fab Four, where together or on their own, has changed the world of music. Tune in to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 FM, Tuesdays, 4 to 6 p.m.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. I'm Sean Sayre here with you live and local this morning on August 8th. It's started out being a sunny morning, and I'm looking out the window right now. It looks like the clouds have already started to creep in a little bit. That's what I was hearing, a little increasing cloudiness today in anticipation of some of the remnants of Tropical Storm Debbie, which we'll hear about in the weather forecast in just a moment. And then we will get back to our conversation with Commissioner Ricardo Morales from the Pittsfield Public Works Department. We will be right back with that conversation. Let's listen to the weather forecast now.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Patchy fog this morning. A chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers. Night is cool with lows in the lower 60s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Friday, showers likely in the morning, then showers with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 70s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of rain 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Sounds like we'll be having some more of the rain tomorrow, just a slight chance today, but 80% tomorrow as that passes through here. Not quite directly over us as they were expecting just maybe a day and a half ago, but we'll still be seeing, I heard, a couple inches. It seems like that's something we can handle here with not too much trouble, right? 2 inches?
Right.
Still a lot of rain.
Yeah, it's all not just the amount, but how fast it comes down, right? That's almost as important, if not more, with how much we can take on in a given time.
Yeah. So something to keep an eye on and keep those storm drains cleared if you've got one outside your house. That's always important, right? Keep things flowing.
That is very helpful.
Ricardo Morales, Commissioner of Public Works, is here in the studio this morning and talking about all kinds of stuff. I think we're on roads, so let's do a couple of lightning round quick hits for some of the roads here. We talked about West Street, the Route 7 near BMC, Upper North Street. Obviously, that's a major thoroughfare for the whole county, not just for Pittsfield, and that is a major project that kicked off this year, although, of course, has been in design for many years before that. What's the progress there?
Since 2014.
So a couple of years.
Yeah. And in planning, you know, in people's minds since before then.
Wow.
We are getting a good headway with all the utility work under the road, the foundation, the retaining wall and utility work for that street on specifically Route 7 and North Street before, or First Street before it turns into North Street.
And that retaining wall is to help that building that's right next door there.
Right.
Is that why?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we are expanding so that we can allow for better access for other modes of transportation and better safe access for pedestrians. Mm. And because of that and the change in the elevation and protecting the building and not having to tear that up down,
right,
because we don't want to. Yeah. We need to have that retaining wall. And, you know, with all of that, there's underground structures, drainage, electrical, water, sewer, all of the good stuff. Mm. And things that you won't be seeing, or thinking as you go by there. Mm. All you're going to be thinking is road, signals, street lights,
right,
trees. So
the stuff you need to navigate.
Yeah.
The area.
So that is what's going on now. Mm. Next year, we're going to be focusing on actual sidewalks, road, starting the half, one half of the roundabout. Mm. And then there's going to be some semblance of a roundabout type of traffic for next year. Mm. And then we're going to finish in 2026.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long project,
yeah,
but we're going to get there. And the contractor, Maximilian, is doing a great job. Mm. I have a meeting later today with the hospital and the contractor and the state on, you know, as we normally do on coordinating our work around that area.
It seems like traffic has been flowing through there pretty well. It's not, it hasn't been a huge backup, and you haven't had to detour things around, too much. So I think that's the main thing, right? People aren't really impacted day to day. If they just have to wait a couple minutes and get through, it's not a big deal.
We go back to the same. It's very similar to the conversation we were having about the bridge.
Mm.
We can shut the entire area down.
Yeah.
Shut it down, detour through the rest of the area. You have to take, you know, X, Y, Z street to get around it. Instead, and if we do that, we will end up with a project that is much faster to complete. We're not doing that, right? It's not a location where we actually have the, can afford our to do something like that.
Right.
Because it is, as you mentioned, such a connector street corridor, north and south, in the county, not just Pittsfield. So because of that, we need to approach this in multiple phases, and that's why it takes much longer.
Yep. But eventually it will be a much improved intersection and whole area with that amount of traffic that comes through, safer for everybody. I'm also thinking about bicycle use through that roundabout. How will that work? Will that be a safer process than what it is or has been in that area?
Anyone that has tried or has taken their bicycle on that area before the construction started, of course, will attest to how difficult it is to transition from North Street to Route 7 North Street, downtown North Street to Route 7 North Street to transition. If you think doing that on the road, right? If you think doing that on a car was difficult, that odd, right turn to then turn left before the triangle, Reading Park triangle, there was a stop sign there. That was at a dangerous spot, a tricky intersection to handle and manage as a driver.
Mm-hmm.
Just think how much difficult it could be with on a bicycle.
Yeah. Yep.
So exposed, right?
Right.
The level. So we talk about when we're dealing with bicycle access, we talk about the level of stress someone using a bicycle experiences while using it, and it's directly correlated to ease of access and people actually getting out there and using the infrastructure. So if you just put down sharrows, markings that say share the road, those are called sharrows. The level of stress will be much higher than if you actually provide protected barriers. Where an 8-year-old can use it and feel safe.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. So
that's a good perspective.
With this project, we're lowering the level of stress for people using the area outside of a vehicle.
Hmm. Well, we talked about West Street and we talked about North Street. So let's go to East Street. We'll get all the directions here at once. And that is another major project. People have seen some gas line work that's been going on down near the Auto Mile area of East Street. Is that in preparation for what's going to be happening over the next couple of years? Or is that a completely unrelated project?
Well, yes. So sometimes we do. We try to coordinate at all times. Mm. And as we've mentioned before, things happen and we are thrown off the track and we have to do things differently. This is one instance where we've been talking with Berkshire Gas for a while. They have plans for this area. We've told them that we have plans for the area. So we have coordinates like, you should do this now. Mm. We put down a fresh coat last year for the section of East Street from Elm Street to Lyman Street, just because it was in very, very bad shape.
Yeah.
But we're not, it was a thin layer. We're not anticipating that to survive too long. And, we knew from the beginning, from day one, that this is just to provide a good surface for drivers while still keeping Berkshire Gas doing some work. That's why, people is like, why are they cutting on the street? And we just paved. It's like, well, we're not just paving it.
Yeah.
We did that last year so that you can have a smooth surface to drive on. But we know that we still have some work. And that's why we only put down a thin layer.
Yep. And then that's connected to another major project on the same street.
So
that's going to be a state-led project, right?
Where the work is going to start, and that's why we stopped at Lyman Street, where the work is going to start by the state on our street, on East Street, is at Lyman, from Lyman to Merrill Road. Mm. And that's going to be bid later this it's August or September. Yeah, it's still August. in September, we're going to be bidding that work, and we're ready for that. There's state and federal funding. The city was responsible for a lot of the right-of-way takings necessary for this to happen. There is a lot of discussions with PETA, with GE for that as well, and it's all in place. And that project is going to take shape and start in 2025.
That's great. That's a rough spot there.
Right.
That's a really difficult and highly traveled as well.
It's going to look completely different. It's sidewalk to sidewalk, you know, fence to fence, call it.
Turning lanes for Woodlawn Ave, things like that.
There's going to be better signalization. There's going to be a new median installed. There's going to be bicycle accommodations. There's going to be a dual left turn lane in one section. It's going to be, I love a project like this where you see what you have now and what you will have at the end. It's a complete 180 degree, you know, turn. And then after that, we're going to be ready for our section of the project, which is, it's still our property, both of them, but we are designing and conducting the project on the East Street from Lyman to Elm Street.
So big stuff there. And then a couple of other roads that I know people have had concerns about. We were just talking about the West Street area. Valentine Road, that near Taconic High School in that area where I think Eversource had done a good amount of work underneath and sort of, you know, taken apart, put back together. But it's still pretty rough. Are there plans to get that done? And is that Eversource's job to do? Is that the city's? How does that work?
So another coordination work there, not as perfect as one would want it to be. We had, so Eversource did work there. We were doing water work on the north side of Valentine.
Right.
And now we're doing the water line on the south side. Ah. And once we finish that, we're going to pave that section completely.
And that was big underground work for the from the water tower,
yes.
Right?
And now it's deep. It's deep and it's failing. We have that's why one of the reasons there's a lot of patches on Valentine in that section, not just from the Eversource work, but historically there's been a lot of patches. There's always been some sort of issue with the water line. And it's just related to the subsurface and the soil surrounding that water line. It's not the best. It's like a peat. It's an organic material, a lot of heavy organic material, and it does not compact well. So you have uneven soil conditions and levels of, you know, pressure, and that causes breaks in water lines.
Yeah.
And that's what we're replacing. We're making it better. We're making the soil around it better and replacing the water line and then pave it. And I want to mention, because it's not in anyone's radar, but we did, right, we talked about West Street, we talked about North Street, we talked about East Street.
Right. What's left?
South Street.
South Street.
So we have entered into, you know, we received a confirmation from the state that in a new program they have, it's called the Municipal Paving Program, the state's Municipal Paving Program. They will take on paving. Resurfacing, milling and resurfacing, doing some structure work on catch basins and such, manholes. South Street from South Mountain Road to Crowfoot.
Okay, yeah.
So that section, it's much less impactful in the sense of the other work we're doing. It's not a, hey, this is going to be different now.
Yeah.
But it is similar to what we do on a mill and pave.
Right. And again, a major artery where a lot of traffic, heavy traffic in some cases, comes through there on a daily basis, right? Serving the city, you know, coming, if you're coming from the turnpike to service the city, you're coming right down South Street into the city. That's going to just take its toll on our roads, right?
Right. No doubt. So we have, as you mentioned, it is very impactful. We have a lot going on. We have sidewalk work that it's just finishing. We're going to be working on a new round of sidewalk work. We have special small pocket projects here and there. We have a lot of road work being finished now. We have a new round of road work starting with LB, who won the bid again, to do another round of, you know, $4 million worth of work. In the, we call that the FY25 road work as we are in the current fiscal year.
So those are our local roads. Those are, resurfacing streets.
What
are
resurfacing, mill and pave.
What are the highlights of those for this year?
You're catching me but it's just we have so many streets. Yeah. I don't have a list with me.
Of smaller residential roads in every ward, essentially, right?
Right. In every ward that we have this time, I think we're doing about six miles worth of roads. Mm. And we're doing crack seal. We're doing fog seal for the first time in our streets.
I've seen that happen a couple of times. Interesting.
One that anyone might be able to see if they're in the downtown area, McKay Street. Mm. And we're going to be restriping those streets soon. We have the contractor in the next few weeks.
So the crack seal is to fill in the cracks in the road so that the water doesn't permeate, get underneath, right, and create more potholes and extend the life of the road, right? And then what is the fog seal?
Fog seal is a similar treatment, but it's easier to apply. Mm. You know, it's just a truck applying it, and it covers the entire road.
Is it like sealing your driveway?
Yeah.
Is it similar to that?
It's very similar.
A different scale?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Crane Ave was the other one I had on my list, and it's still, parts of it are still pretty rough.
So Crane Ave is one of the streets that we're going to be paving.
Oh, great.
You just jogged my memory here. Benedict Road in that area. So there's sections of Benedict, sections of Crane. We're not doing all of Crane. We're not doing all of Benedict. Yeah. It's sections. And those are the two that you just jogged my memory on which ones are coming next. We're staying busy.
Yeah,
we're not stopping. We're reaching our limit in terms of the attention that we can pay to our projects, and that's just road work.
Yeah.
Right. We have other projects coming up looming in the background. Mm. That are massive in scale.
What kind of projects are those?
The water treatment plants need very important upgrades to the plants. We haven't been shy about sharing this information. We're looking at close to $90 million worth of work at the water treatment plants. And
those are things that people don't see every day because they're not driving across it, right?
Right.
But it's still a critical part of the infrastructure.
We have infrastructure that was installed. Very good, Crofta treatment, sand filtration devices. It's a very interesting technology. It works very good.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply outdated. We need to improve. We have the first iteration still.
Hmm.
No one, you can't expect something that was installed more than 30 years ago to not receive major improvements to it or modifications with new technology for the same type of infrastructure to just continue to operate in the same to the same level. So
there's always new requirements also placed on the city.
On top of that, there's new requirements by the state and federal level agencies that require us to deal with things differently. So back in the 80s, we didn't have the need for, things like storage, containment areas for chemicals, probably simply because we didn't have the need for the amount of the chemicals that we need to add to treat the water. So that's one of the things we're doing on one of them right now. But we need to do that on the other plant at Cleveland. We need to improve the sand filters. We need to provide more reliable redundancy for the water that we clean, and that comes in the shape of a water tank at each plant.
Wow.
Actually, in Cleveland, we don't have water tanks to store clean water in the event that we need to, take down equipment on one of the filter units or more than one. Things happen,
right?
And we need to stop production of clean water.
Yep.
We have to do it in a very short span because we don't have any clean water to supplement the stopping production.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff that we need to deal with.
It's important to have a department of redundancy department.
Yeah.
moving on to, and that's all amazing. I don't know how that we can pack all this stuff into one hour interview here with Commissioner Morales, but we're going to try. And we've got just a few minutes of our conversation left here on Morning Drive. But let's talk about the recycling and trash pickup, which is kind of quieted down in the media a little bit. We haven't been talking about it so much since the budget process brought it online. But what are the department's preparations for rolling that out? That's going to be a September, October rollout. What are people going to be expecting?
Right. It's shaping up to September, as we had mentioned and communicated. We're going to start with recycling. So the first thing you're going to start seeing is later this week, we're putting out mailers into everyone's, people's homes. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the city will receive this mailer if you're in a 1, 2, 3, or 4 family household, or not household, 4 family unit mm-hmm. or property. So we pick up trash for up to 4 families. So this mailer is going to have information about what to expect, a quick breakdown, some frequently asked questions and answers. And then we're working on some yesterday, Casella, if you might have been driving around some of our neighborhoods, you might have seen some video recording happening. Wow. Casella was performing that for in preparation for the educational campaign.
Okay.
We're preparing for, we're going to have some new calendars to offer the public. We're going to have a brochure that will come with every single toter that will be delivered. And we're going to have some of those brochures as well for people to grab from City Hall or our offices. And we're going to have at least 3 public meetings, 2 of them in English, 1 of them in Spanish, fully in Spanish. Mm. And we're working on the details of where, when, but it's going to be early September.
Okay.
And that's going to be specifically, these are not public meetings in the sense of a public, traditional public meeting. These are, here's what to know. This is what to expect. Do you have questions? This is what's happening. Mm. Like we're beyond the taking ideas and modifying. This is what's happening, mm-hmm. what to expect, what you need to know, what you need to do when this starts.
Yeah. Well, it's a major change for people, right?
Absolutely.
And for something that they do every single week. They get in the habit of doing something and they've always done it that way. This is a major change that they'll need to know. And how it's rolled out is also important to know, right? Because it's not going to happen across the city all at once on one day.
And we're going to be communicating that once we have it very specific. And not only that, we're going to be sending out, if you're not signed up to Code Red, it's very important to sign up to Code Red, because we're going to be sending information out the day before hey, tomorrow, remember, you're starting with the toter. Mm-hmm. It's going to be automated. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. How do people find out how to sign up for Code Red?
It's right in the corner of the webpage, cityofpittsfield.org. It pops up and you can click and sign up. If it doesn't pop up, it's in the e-notify. Yep. I'm sorry, the Code Red section on the left pane.
And basically you get the notices on your cell phone. You just put your cell phone number in, and then you get text messages if you want, or email or phone calls on important things that are happening in the city.
So that's some of the stuff that's going on. We're going to be having press release, the traditional stuff, press releases. We're going to be on the radio talking about this.
Yep.
We're going to be putting information on newspaper and printed media, and of course social media. So it's a well-rounded approach. I know the mayor will be talking at the senior center again about this, covering different parts of our demographics, and that's where there's going to be issues, and we need to anticipate those issues, but not necessarily for preventing them. Mm. There will be issues.
Yeah.
Speaking with other communities that have done this before, they've communicated, you will have problems. It's going to be a learning curve. The two problems you're going to have are things that people do or don't do, rather, in a certain way. They're going to learn, mm-hmm. right? That's going to be issue number one, type issue number one. People are going to learn with time to do it the right way. Type issue number two is things that we structurally were doing that we need to pivot, or we need to change, or we need to modify, tweak. And that's going to be also a learning curve. Mm. As we deploy, we might see something we did not think about that. Let's put our thinking caps on and address it. And that's where we need to be very attentive and be able to pivot quickly.
Well, I'm sure that we will have you back on the show around that time. We should probably just put that in the calendar right now and talk about it. We'll have a whole show just on the trash and recycling changes that are happening in the city with Commissioner Ricardo Morales. So I want to thank you again for being here this morning.
You.
It's been great having you, and I know people, the listeners, appreciate you coming on and letting them know about all the stuff happening.
Thank you
thanks
for having me.
You bet. All right, everybody. Talk to you soon, and we will actually be here on the program tomorrow morning as well. We'll be talking money tomorrow morning, so you want to stick around for that. Take care.